But once again, the Bears are inadequate at the position of quarterback.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Andy Dalton, that's the plan B. How's this the plan B?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Andy Dalton is not that guy. And the Bears organization knows it. And Ryan Pace knows it. And Matt Nagy knows it. And that's why they try to get Russell Wilson.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network reporter Steve White. Coming up, Buccaneers linebacker Lavonte David. CBS Sports college basketball analyst Clark Kellogg. Co-host of Brother from Another, Michael Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air here on Peacock and this Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate, the terrestrial or satellite. And it's something, hey, I'll fully admit this. I've got a fresh cup of Joe. It's nice and hot. I'm going to be a little extra caffeinated over these next couple hours, which I know everybody around here likes. You like it when I'm tired and over-caffeinated. I'll just shoot you straight. That's exactly what I am.
A little more juicy.
And I just pulled a Chris Berman to start hour number two, which is because I went back to go get the fresh cup of coffee, literally sitting down in my seat as seconds were going to the air. You're good. That's what the Schwam used to do quite a bit. Where's Chris? Don't worry, he'll be here.
Three, two,
hey, welcome.
And then
he would stick the landing.
The audio guys working the floor, which I did at Fox Sports Net in the early days, we hated that because you made us like literally have to run to get you mic'd up, and it would be like scrambling because you're IFB. It's
no, you're using the general you, right? I didn't do that.
No, I'm not saying you did that.
And I'm not wearing a mic. I have a mic in front of me so I know how to sit down.
And he didn't work at Fox Sports Net.
Exactly. What happened?
I don't know. I am saying that for my ESPN.
I'm not Chris Myers. This is not the Chris Myers show.
There.
I'm here, you're there.
I'm here, you're there. Mike freaking out.
I'm saying that for my people that worked at ESPN.
Although I will say this.
The A2's on the floor.
Back in our day. Mike, back in our day at the NFL Network together, we would do our coverage. The first few years that we covered the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fame. This is when we would do our set wasn't in the stadium yet.
No,
okay, because they had just moved everything to the stadium from the front steps of the hall for the induction ceremony. Jim Kelly had just been inducted a couple of years before, and that's what, as you know, moved everything from the front steps in that lawn that couldn't hold all the fans of his that showed up from Pittsburgh, where he's from, you know, and Buffalo. I mean, you could do a straight line of Buffalo to Pittsburgh to Ohio, like, phew, everyone just came straight down.
Oh, yeah.
And inundated the place, so they said, we need a bigger boat. So they went to the stadium next door. But anyway, we used to use what was called the old Hollywood Hotel. Okay? Now, what this is, Chris, this even predates you. I didn't expect to tell the story today, but...
Sorry, Rich, but
I'm off on a tangent, and I kind of dig it. I'm over-caffeinated and tired. But what it is was a hermetically sealed, like a soundproof box, okay,
raised.
That you put on a scissor razor. Raise it up high, and there's a window behind you so you could see out of this box, and you put a set and cameras that are literally like that far away from you. It wasn't very wide at all. It was like a trailer that you could put on stilts and seal it up for sound. So you didn't hear anything.
Right.
Like, say, the interstate that was right behind us.
Yeah, like right
so
there.
You wouldn't hear the trucks zooming by. And this box we got from Fox because they made this for their NASCAR coverage, so you didn't hear all the zooming cars around. So I would go on the set, and I would, it was amazing. Name a Hall of Famer, name anybody. We interviewed John Madden there after he gave his remarkable speech about... the busts talking to each other and all that. A lot of NFL Network history went down in this box. And there was only one aspect of this box that cross-pollinated our Hall of Fame coverage and Fox's NASCAR coverage. There was only one item in there that was left over from the Fox NASCAR coverage.
Okay.
And it was Chris Myers' Paul Mitchell hairspray can. Which, in the years that I was on the set, year after year after year, I needed less and less. But this is how long ago it was that I did actually use it 1 year for my hair that I needed to, that I still had. And that's the story that was born out of the fact that Mike Del Tufo just misconstrued my ability to be on time for a show
I didn't
with
mean
Chris
you.
Myers.
I'm sorry, I take that back.
Wow, Mike.
I mean, you were saying Chris sat, Berman sat down at the
well,
last
Well, no, I understand it pisses off sound guys because it's like, and ladies because it's your job to mic us up and we're late and you're like, and now all of a sudden the thing's hanging off and you can't hear and whose fault is it? Mine?
There is another
is
guy
it mine?
That
is
you
it mine?
Know that used to be late coming into set that you worked with at ESPN that worked at Fox Sports Net that was did that all the time.
Not KO. Not Keith.
No, he was there. I'm not going to mention the name, but I'm keeping, I can't, I don't want to.
This is now, this is more interesting than any sports talk it can possibly have.
Yeah, I mean, gossip. Right. I mean, 20-year-old gossip.
Let's go back. I'm sorry, Rich.
Let's get to the sports talk, though. Yesterday, we had Michael Wilbon on the program. And it, boy, what he said it twice on this show. He said it on ESPN as well. But it just really has gotten me to thinking, certainly in the fact that when he said that he says that Matt Nagy didn't want to coach Mitchell Trubisky. And this is a guy that won Coach of the Year because he was able to coach Mitchell Trubisky to such an effect in just 1 year's time that it was worthy of the award. I mean, I don't think there was any question Matt Nagy was the Coach of the Year that year, right? And it kind of gave me pause. Certainly now also to bring it up here in light of the fact that I do believe a town in which Mo Green has no plaque, signpost, or statue, a town in which the Rich Eisen show is on Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m., Las Vegas, Nevada.
Shout out.
I do believe, I read this article, I don't condone this sort of behavior, that the people who do sort of place, one would say, chances on things happening and asking people if they care to part with hard-earned wages to decide whether one chance is better than the other of happening.
Spit it out.
I do believe that the Bears Super Bowl odds went up after signing Andy Dalton yesterday.
I didn't get to that yesterday because I wanted to mention it. The Bears were 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. Sign Andy Dalton, 50-1.
That's not the way free agency is supposed to work. Usually you sign somebody, it makes people think, no, I could see how that can work out.
Right.
It's not like, nope.
Nope. That made me laugh. Not going to lie. That made me laugh.
I saw that and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Nobody believes in Andy Dalton.
Zero.
So to say, here's Andy to the fan base that says, okay, no Mitchell Trubisky. Now what do you got? Roll it. This is what Wilbon had to say.
I've had Kansas City Chiefs players tell me to my face, and I'm not going to name them. These were off-the-record conversations. I probably shouldn't be mentioning it. Two years ago, when the Super Bowl, that they knew that he didn't want to coach. He didn't want to coach him. It's not a secret. When I say didn't want to coach him, he preferred. He had Patrick Mahomes as a redshirt. That's not the same skill set as coming to coach Trubisky. And everybody knows it. When I say it's an open secret, they're former Bears. I don't mean just guys from 85. I mean, they're recent former Bears who I run into, and they go, he doesn't want to coach this guy. He wants somebody with a different skill set.
Yeah. And I sat there, and I thought to myself about this. So the Kansas City Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. It was the year, not that Nagy won Coach of the Year. It was the year after that where they took a step back. And they seemed to change the way in which they were playing. They didn't rely on Trubisky's feet as much, and he totally regressed, and maybe the personnel changed, and maybe in that year he just decided, first year was magic, and second year, I can't coach this guy anymore. Right? And then they get Foles to push him, and then we are where we are, which is Dalton. And I sat there and I thought to myself, if I'm an owner of a team and I don't know this, it's my fault. Now, if I'm an owner of a team, I would want to know what Michael Wilbon is saying is an open secret amongst players from the team that I hired my coach and from players that are in my Legends community. If that's an open secret, I would sure want to know that. And, you know, George McCaskey is very hands off, which is what I would also want to be as an owner. I would want to find the person, man or woman, who can run a team and know a personnel department and know what personnel matches the coach as well as my fan bases and my organization's philosophy. I'd want to put that all together and I'd want to back off, but I sure would want to know what everybody's saying about my general manager and my coach and the quarterback. So I sat there and I thought this. Honestly, this is the stuff I think about when I go home sometimes and ignore my children.
The best dad ever.
But honestly, I thought about this also on the way to work today. That maybe does Jerry Jones have it right? Because he knows. He would know. He would know about an open secret because he's locked in.
Well, he's there all the time.
I know that, but he's also involved with the roster building. Well, he's also involved calling other general managers. Like he's in the jet stream. He would know. Okay? Like he definitely knew what some of the unnamed players were saying about Mike Nolan, even probably before what Jane Slater reported from NFL Network.
I would think so.
So he knows that. Which leads now, let's go get Dan Quinn. But we can't fire someone in the middle of the season. We're not going to change it in the middle of the season. But he's also can't see forest from trees because he's too involved in it. And so you also don't want to have somebody that's in your ear saying what you need to know if that person is the wrong person. Like, say, maybe Jack Easterby. Do you see what I'm getting here? Like,
sure.
So I'm sitting here wondering, like, what owners would know what's going on and also be hands-off enough. Like, that's the good stuff here. That's the sweet spot here. Like, how do you run it back with Ryan Pace after he's already botched the Trubisky decision from the get-go and it was obvious 2 years in? You did the right thing to get the right coach to turn him around, but a year later, it's your coach is already telling players on his former team that they already know he doesn't want to coach Mitchell Trubisky? And then he changes some sort of philosophy of the way he does it with him because after a successful year, it falls off and he's decided, yeah, I can't do this with this guy anymore. Let's bring in Nick Foles. Oof. And then,
yeah.
Wouldn't you want to know this before you run it back with your GM and your coach again? And how do you go about doing that? It is such a tenuous thing to win in this league, to find the Brett Veach, to find the Jason Light, to find the Les Snead, to find your, you know, Steve Keim, who adds Rodney Hudson yesterday. I mean, it's so tough to find the right person and to know what you need to know. As I'm a coach, I want to know. It's an open secret. My coach doesn't want to coach the guy who I've hired him to fix and he wins coach of the year and he's telling everyone a year later I don't want to coach him anymore. And then the general manager who made the decision that this sets off all these dominoes, I'm going to keep him to now figure out what to do next.
Yeah, he's still there.
And the answer is Andy Dalton.
Right.
And I understand you want to be hands off, but you got to be a little bit more hands on, don't you think? And how do you do that? What do you do? And I'm honestly, I think of some owners. Because, you know, Kraft is hands off and Bill, you trust, you got to throw him out, right?
Right.
Because he's found the right guy. And I thought I like Steve Bisciotti in Baltimore.
I think David Tepper is that guy kind of now.
Well, I guess he would probably know what's going on in his organization.
He seems to be around a lot.
If you're the owner, wouldn't you want to call the coach and the general manager in like all the time? But you also have to let them do what they want to do. It's such a fine line, and that's what I kept thinking about with this Michael Wilbon soundbite from yesterday. Bisciotti, you know, hires Ozzy, and Ozzy, you do your thing, but he damn well knows about what the open secrets are. I bet. John Mara, the Giants, you know?
Not Woody Johnson.
He clearly was onto something other than football.
Right.
Man, if I'm an owner of an NFL team, I would want to know, and it would drive me crazy. It would drive me nuts.
Yeah.
If that happened. You know what I'm saying? And it's so tough to get right. It is so tough to get right.
Oh, as evidence, we see every year, 6 to 8 coaches get fired. Every year, there's a turnover.
But there's something to put there's something about continuity. The Steelers are a perfect example. A perfect example. Didn't Breer say this week that Mike Tomlin this year is matching the number of years Bill Cowher was there?
Yep. 15, right?
So, I mean, there is something for letting it ride. There is something for that. You can't keep churning through it. But there is something where you got to know what's up and you got to make that move when there's a vote of no confidence. Could you imagine you hire a coach to fix somebody, he fixes him, a year later he's like, yeah, I can't coach him anymore. And it's an open secret from players that he used to be in the same organization with and players who are in your organization as legends. Wow. And yet, they can draft the right guy 20th overall and stick him in this quarterback room with two lead pipe-wielding professional and human beings, aces, A-plus people, and professionals, and Dalton and Foles, and off they go. And all of a sudden, it's like, great move, Ryan Pace. And this is a genius head coach. Two-time coach of the year, Matt Nagy. That's how quickly it can turn, if the continuity works, and if you get lucky. But in the meantime, if I'm an owner, I want to know everything. And I better find the right guy and that everybody doesn't think is my mole. It's such a crazy, crazy world to get it right.
And they were 5-1 last year.
844-204-RICH. Levante David of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He has signed along with a ton of other world champs from last year. It is still last year already. Same calendar year. Levante David, when we come back. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. back here on the Rich Eisen Show. I mentioned at the top of the program that the Buccaneers free agency, first week of free agency, that they are going down the list of people that they wanted to keep, that they really needed to keep or should keep, and they're checking one box after another, and that includes this grown-ass man in the middle of the defense next to Devin White, a world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneer with a two-year, $25 million contract, all signed and sealed and delivered, I imagine. Levante David here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Levante?
Hey, Rich, how you doing? I'm great, man. Thank you for having me.
You are most welcome, and we are much appreciating your phone call here. What's it like in the defensive huddle with Devin White, the two of you guys, Levante?
Oh, man, it's different. He's one of those young guys who's going to always talk, who always going to be energetic, going to be real motivating. And, you know, he's definitely, you know, somebody who I'm proud to take the field with, because I know he's going to give his all. Every time we out there, man, the bond that we have that we created on the field, we're trying to create what we created off the field. We're trying to create that on the field as well. We got a lot of room left to continue to improve, man. And I'm glad to be, like you said earlier, man, I'm glad to continue to prove that with him, with my two-year contract with the Bucs to continue to play with him.
So, yeah, do I pick up from what you just put down that he talks more than you, Levante?
Oh, of course. Of course. 1,000 times more. Yeah. 1,000 times more. I don't think I ever seen somebody who talk as much as him ever in my 9 years of playing football. He's he goes. And, like, he's one of those people when, like, if he don't find nothing to talk about, you don't got nothing to talk about, man, he gonna try to find something to do, try to bring up some type of conversation with you. So, but, you know, it's him, man. You gotta love it.
No, of course, and it's infectious. And, you know, he told me about the first conversations he had with Bruce Arians, who basically said, if you're on the board, we're taking you. And then they did, and they add him to, you know, and he's one of those guys that I'd want to have play for me if I was ever so fortunate to have that situation. Yeah. You're another one of them. But how did you make it work, right? I mean, you're a veteran. You've been there since your drafting in the second round out of Nebraska. I mean, you go way back to, you know, Greg Schiano. You've been through four coaches there. You've been through a whole bunch of changes, and here comes this kid from LSU, top five.
Yeah.
How did you adjust to all of that, to where we've now seen a Lombardi Trophy being brought to town?
I mean, you know, when he first came in, you know, Devin already had the respect of me. He already respected me as a player and things like that. And there was time just, you know, for him to you know, just get to know me. Understand that you know, I'm a leader of the team for the past whatever years, and he's coming in as a rookie, coming in, you know, to try to, you know, help me out, and that's what he's been doing. And you know, after weeks go by, you know, I just try to teach him, and then just teach him, you know, try to teach him the ropes and what people taught me when I first came in. And for a kid to come in to be a number five pick, you know, you already know that expectations are already high. And I just tell him every time we go out there, man, you know, man, use me. You know, use me as your resource. You know, use me on the field, use me off the field. You know, we out here together. We both trying to win football games. We both trying to, you know, make a statement in this league. And, you know, so far, so good, man. He's kind of came in. You know, you've seen the flashes of what he can do. You've seen why they picked him number five overall. And all he's going to do is just keep on getting better. And I feel like he's a kid who, you know, he listens. You know, he takes coaching, and he just go out there and put it all on the field, and he just want to play football, man, at the end of the day. And kind of, you know, tell each other all the time, you know, we who going to make the next play. And that's how we motivate each other all the time. I tell him, like, you going to make a play this drive, or I'm going to make the play, and we going to go out there and do what we do.
Well, I mean, again, last couple of years, you guys have been clearly the best tandem in the league. There's no question about that. And Todd Bowles, it seems like, might be more attuned to your personality and vice versa, because he doesn't say very much either, but he can just give you a look and you'll know that this is what he wants. I mean, he's that type of guy, and he's still sticking around there. Unfortunately, I know he wants another coaching gig, head coaching gig, but I guess for the moment, you get to run it back. What has he done for you and the rest of that defense that we saw turn into a championship run this year, Levante?
I mean, he's everything what people told me he was, you know. Obviously, when we first got him, you know, switching the defense over from a 4-3 to a 3-4. You know, I was a little skeptical about that. I didn't know nothing about a 3-4 defense. I played in a 4-3 my whole career, and I just wanted to see how they was going to use me. And he gave me a call. We talked, had a good conversation, and we hit it all right then and there. And, you know, first meeting, you know, he sat down, you know, just explain everything, how everything's supposed to be done, how he wants everything done. And he taught me a lot of football, man. He taught me, you know, taught me more than I thought I knew, you know, as far as like concepts and what you want from different players and certain defenses and stuff like that. So he's definitely a guy who definitely deserves another head coach opportunity, man. He's a smart man. He's football savvy. And it shows week in and week out, by the way, we play on defense. So he helped me, not only me, but he also helped a lot of, you know, other players, you know, as far as, especially we got our young football team, especially on defense. So he definitely helped those guys. He helped them with their confidence, and he put those guys in position to make, put everybody in position to make plays. So we definitely are fortunate enough to have a guy like him. And even the whole staff, man, those guys work well together. And whatever they learn, they bring it down to us and they teach us really well. And we apply it on the field.
What were you able to do in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs that so few teams were able to do? I mean, what did you see going in? Was it the tackles being down? It was because it was essentially, from what I thought, despite the tackles being down, about how you and Devin would be able to handle Travis Kelce, who's one of the best in the business. And then obviously the guys up front harassed Mahomes enough. But what did you guys see going into that game that you were able to affect for the championship?
Oh, man, it's just a team that have, you know, the ridiculous amount of weapons like that they have. Start with Tyreek Hill, then Travis Kelce, and then, you know, obviously with the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Man, we just try to do as much as we can to disrupt what they got going on. The main thing is we're just, you know, tackling and making sure we disrupt timing from the quarterback. You know, they're the type of offense who likes to get the ball out fast and then take their shots in there. So once we was able to, you know, just lock in and do what we're supposed to do, you know, Coach Bowles came up with a great game plan, and we just went out there and executed, man. Like I said, man, they're a great football team, but I feel like mentally, we were just ready to go out there and play our best brand of football and show.
Devontae David here on the Rich Eisen Show. And going into that game, I'll be honest, I was one of the many, certainly most of us on NFL Network's desk that thought the home field situation really wasn't much of anything, because the Chiefs were home all week too, you know, because of the pandemic, and there wouldn't be a ton of fans, and even the fans that are in there, you know, it would be 50-50 split. But Michael Irvin's like, no, that these guys for the Bucs cannot look at this field the same way again, or want to look at this field the same way again, if the Chiefs are celebrating on it and winning a championship, and that they will never let that happen. And I'm wondering if he was onto something, Levante.
Yeah, it was a different level of motivation. You know, first time in history, a team is playing their home stadium for the Super Bowl. And definitely coming out, walking to the practice field, you could see the stadium and you see people putting up the Super Bowl signs and stuff like that. So it definitely added an extra little motivation. And understanding what they did to us the first game on that field, you know, it was like, man, we can't let that happen again. This moment right here, this is it. You know, whatever you got to let it all out, you know, for this football game right here. And then to do it in your home stadium, you know, it definitely added a different type of juice level for our performance.
But you're going to let the Chiefs win on your turf is really what Michael was saying. It was just that's the end of that. Oh, like, that was not
nah, –
was that discussed?
That was not an option right there. That was not an option. We just had to go out and just, you know, play our best brand of football. But for another team that is basically like, I mean, they did it in the regular season, but this is a whole different level right here.
So, Levante David, you know, I wanted to give you and the rest of the defense your due, because it's beyond worthy. What you guys did and how you were gelling was remarkable, certainly in the last half of the season and through the playoffs. So, and I also think it's been remarkable restraint by me to not mention the name Tom Brady in this conversation up until this very point, but I do feel the need to bring it to the GOAT here. How did he change things for you? You've been there since 2012. I mean, you go back to Josh Freeman, for crying out loud, as the quarterback. Right. So how did he change things there in Tampa?
I mean, all those guys, taking up from those guys, man. I had a great group of guys come in and play quarterback for the team, guys who have great character, you know, guys who are talented in their own right at throwing the football. But I think just Tom coming in, a six-time Super Bowl winner, a guy who knows what it takes to win, and a guy who this, you know, superstar status and stuff like that. All it did is just raise the confidence level of guys around him, you know, just understanding how he does it, just watching him, the way he moves, the way he studies, the way he practices, just watching the way he does things. All you try to do is just mimic him, just try to have that same type of work mentality when he comes to work. You know, he's studying, you know, day in and day out, and his practice habits, the way he competes in practice, and all it did is just shoot everybody else, just raised everybody else's, you know, play and everybody else's performance, because, you know, he did it. This guy right here has 6 Super Bowl rings, and we're trying to get 1. So I feel like, you know, he came in, you know, just everybody just wanted to get on his level, and that's what he did. He got everybody up to his level. Play at a fast pace, play high tempo football, and we went out there and got it done.
So, do you ever sneak a peek while he was operating the offense on the sideline?
Not really.
Okay,
not really. I mean, we're too busy going over adjustments and stuff on defense. I mean, it's an ongoing thing throughout the game. But when you do get a little time, you kind of see the way he does things, and you're in awe sometimes. But in the day, you know, you just expect that out of him. Expect him to go out there and be great and do what he do.
4th and goal, NFC Championship game, late in the game. You surprised to see Green Bay send their kicker out there instead of Aaron Rodgers, Levante David?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised, but at the same time, I was happy.
Yeah. I'm sure, but you had to think, though, that they were going to go for it, don't you think?
Yeah, it was a tight game. You know, it was in the red zone, so I definitely did think they were going to go for it, but when they sent the kicker out, you know, I'm like, hey, okay, you know, because I'm not on a field goal block team, but I was standing out there just waiting, just expecting them to go for it. But, you know, I guess they had that thing, you know, planned. I mean, I don't know what they had in mind, but, you know, shoot, I was happy when they ran the kicker out there and didn't go for it. You know, you never know what would have happened, but, you know, I was, you know, it was shocking, but, you know, that's just something that they wanted to do, and I felt like that's something that they need to do at that moment.
Yeah, I mean, in the locker room, halftime must have been something else. I mean, you and the rest of your teammates going back and forth to keep it the lead, and it's a tight game, and all of a sudden Brady going up top to Scotty Miller, no risk it, no biscuit, touchdown. That must have been amazing heading into the locker room, thinking that this is your moment, right?
Yeah, that was real big, especially at that time. You know, winding down with a couple of seconds left, you go deep, and you score a touchdown to go up. I believe it was 21-10 at the half. You had all the momentum. But as we all know, man, it's never over when 12 Aaron Rodgers is over there, you know, on the other side of the ball with the talent that he has over there. And they definitely did come and make it a football game in the second half. And, you know, this is what we expected, man. But we was able to keep our poise, keep our composure, and just continue to play a full 4 quarters of football. And we was able to get it done.
All right, Levante David, before I let you go, before we talk about your foundation, which we'll get to in a second here, I need an honest answer, not like that you've been lying to me this entire time. I'm actually setting this up. I'm building the drama because I definitely need a real answer. If Tom Brady threw the Lombardi Trophy from one boat to another into a group of defenders now, okay, into a group of defenders, who would you want to have the best hands to catch it? Who's got the best hands in the defense to catch a Lombardi Trophy flipped from one boat to another in a championship parade? Who?
The best hands on defense to catch it.
Yes.
I'm obviously say me. You know, I trust myself. You know, because it was my first one, so I was gonna make sure I catch that one. You know, you can't drop the Lombardi Trophy. It's my first one, man, so I'm gonna make sure I secure it.
Okay.
But yeah, so I'm always been on myself to make that catch.
Yeah, because you know Godwin dropped his phone in the river. Did anybody on the defense fumble one over the side of a boat? Anybody else cough one up or what?
Nah. We don't get those many opportunities to get the ball in my hand, so we're gonna make sure we try to catch it.
Nothing went over. Nothing went overboard. I mean, this has got to be amazing for you, man. I mean, again, kid from South Florida, couple of stops before going to Nebraska, getting drafted. You saw so many coaching changes. You saw, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Arians is your 4th head coach in the league, right? And then you mentioned in your first class, first rate to mention the quarterbacks were high character and all, you know, good in their own right. But they're, you know, obviously there's only one Tom Brady. This has to be amazing for you that you're a champion. Yeah. You got a 2-year contract and going into your 30-year-old with a 2-year, $25 million deal. And the team seems to be getting everybody back, getting the band back together. Right. I know there might be some others out there to still work on, but this has got to be amazing for you.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. I always think back and I always, you know, think about all the first 8 years that I was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, not a lot of media coverage. You know, not a lot of people know who's on the football team. A lot of, you know, bashing. A lot of talks about, you know, the Bucs. You know, they're chasing the Bucs. Gonna go 5-11. Bucs gonna go 6-10. And then just now, it's just different. And for me to get this platform, man, I'm gonna take full advantage of it because I don't know how long I got left, you know, to be in this situation. So, you know, the first 8 years I ain't had this opportunity. So now that I got the opportunity, man, I'm gonna take full advantage of it. Obviously, you know, past years, you know, you didn't have nothing to talk about, obviously, and now Super Bowl champions, man, you got a lot to talk about, and you know, we gonna brag and boast. You know, I'm sure, you know, my teammates feel the same way. And I feel like we're a confident group. And, you know, I feel like we got like great leaders in that locker room, man. And I'm definitely blessed to be a part of the organization.
Come on.
There's been times where, obviously, you know, you just have those, you know, on nights coming after the football game, after the losses you suffered in the previous years. But, you know, it's just different now, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Come on, say you're going to win it again. Just go ahead. Just say you're going to win it back-to-back, Levante. You know you want to, deep down.
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously, I got all the confidence in real that we could get there again. But, you know, it takes a lot. You know, obviously, you know, it took a lot this year. We went 11-5, and nobody did expect us to be in a position that we was in. So it's gonna take a lot again. You know, we went from being the hunters to hunted. So you never know how it's going to be now. But, you know, I'm confident enough in the guys in the locker room, man, that we could get it done again.
Levante David Foundation, helping public education fulfill the promise of equal opportunity, help college-bound students and youth, obviously, academically overall. I'll give you the floor on why you chose this aspect to wrap your foundation around, Levante.
Yeah, man, I chose to ask that because, you know, looking back at my situation, I didn't take school as serious as I should have back when I was in high school. You know, I always just thought about maintaining a certain grade point average for me to be eligible to play football. And now I'm in the position I'm in right now to be able to, you know, kind of, you know, break that norm of people thinking that way. And I just want to help people education-wise because I ended up going to junior college. And I wasn't able to go to the school that I wanted to go to, a big Division I school. So now I'm in a position to help those, you know, trying to follow in the same path for me to, as far as, you know, help people financially, or you know, just give people, you know, opportunities to get to a school of their dreams and be able to, you know, succeed academically. And I feel like this a calling for me, and it's something that I really want to do. And me and my team is putting together a great plan to get it done.
LevanteDavid54.com to learn more about the foundation. And I really appreciate it. 54 and 45 next to each other for years to come. But may that happen, and may you win as much as you possibly can. Levante, good luck to you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, Rich. Thank you for having me.
You got it. That is Levante David. 45 is Devin White, by the way. That is it. Those two guys next to each other. Look out. Look out. That's the way they're building right there. Front seven. TB 12, 12, 13, 14, 45, 54. That's not a bad five.
I think I'm going to play those numbers in the Powerball tonight, as a matter of fact.
That's right.
Write that down.
Beast. I just love stories like that. Honestly, out of Nebraska, Greg Schiano's first year, Josh Freeman's last. Go. Ooh. Now you're watching, you're lifting a trophy with Tom Brady as your quarterback.
How about that, man?
What?
That's a come up.
What?
You ain't never lied. You ain't never lied.
You know what I'm saying?
Over 500 one time in his career.
And now look. Now look. and now we're talking about running it back. And it's no joke. It's no joke. Yeah. I know I've, you know, goading him to saying, yeah, we're going to win it all again.
Well, he doesn't have to. I think a lot of us will go ahead and say
No, I already did. I already said I'm not going to doubt Tom Brady again.
No.
Because they're getting their pieces back, and their line is intact. How many other quarterbacks are, like, Russell's like, I need to be protected. The Raiders are dismantling their offensive line to go younger. You know, that, by the way, you know, I want to talk about that a little bit, and when we come back here, and a little bit more free agency and what Arizona is doing before Clark Kellogg joins me to help me fill out my brackets.
That's kind of cheating, Rich.
No, it's not. It's called using the host chair to the best of my ability while also creating a very highly entertaining and informative three-hour radio and television show. Wow. That's what it's called. At least that's the way I'm looking at it. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, let's take some phone calls right here. Our buddy Alan Dallas, what's up, Al? How you doing? You might have Kenny Golladay in the Big Blue by the end of the day. That would be good.
That would be nice. Hello, over caffeinated and tired.
Yes, I am. Hello, Al.
Hey, good fantasy team name, by the way. Pissing off sound guys. That's not bad.
Or boat. Or pissing.
Hey, El Saltador. I mean, I was just watching on it. That's sick. That looked like Jack, right, Brockman?
Yeah, right.
Listen, that would be a huge signing for them. Is that a long-term deal, though? That's the only thing
I don't know. It hasn't been done yet. Kenny Golladay's in the building, and everybody, you know, who I follow on Twitter and who I appreciate their knowledge says there's mutual interest. And once you get a guy in the, like, literally physically in the building, you're not going to let him walk out, I don't think. I think it's one of those things where this is what the Giants are offering. This is what we're willing to accept. Well, then come on in. Let's show them around. Like, it's not like, you know, wanting to make sure that they see, you know, that there's a Starbucks around the corner before they sign. You know what I mean?
Like, welcome to Secaucus, New Jersey.
Pretty much. You know what I mean? So, like, I think that's what I think is really where it's going. And what this means, Al, is, like, it's go time for Daniel Jones. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to figure out, do we pick up a fifth-year option on him or not? And then, and again, if I'm Gettleman, I'm going to want to get these pieces around and let's go. It's time. It's go time.
It is time. It is time. Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
I agree. And I appreciate the call, Al. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Our poll question, how does that sit right now with the NFC East? You threw that out there. I think it's going to be a little top-heavy is my 2 cents on that. At Rich Eisen Show, you put all four NFC East teams. Who's got the chance to win it all? What do you got for me?
NFC East favorite right now. Eagles, 5%. Giants, 11%. Cowboys, sorry, TJ, 32%. Your Washington football team, 52%.
Chargers just signed Jared Cook, who, as you know, is a tight end. He's solid plus. You know what I mean? Like,
solid plus.
John Bowie, our coordinating, our EP, 32. Pardon me, our New Orleans Saints fan said something in my ear that's unmentionable because he's the one who coughed up the football that changed the tenor of the entire playoff loss to the Buccaneers. But anyway, long story short, you know, Hunter Henry gone, Jared Cook in. Guy has some serious production ability. Justin Herbert's going to find him. I'll take him on a fantasy team late. I'll tell you that. I mean,
the only Jared Cook photo? Like, come on,
fumbling,
Don.
Getting a ball punched out by Antoine Winfield.
About Kenny Golladay, Rich, just real quick. Like,
yes.
Who would you want to play with? Joe Burrow or Daniel Jones?
But if I'm, I don't know who's going to. You know, I don't know who's going to pay me? If I want the money and the Giants are going to cough it up, I'll go to New York City. Again, you hit it in New York City. You got, you know, Subway commercials coming your way.
Yeah, that's true.
You hit it in Cincinnati, different story, for less money. And sure, you can, what are you going to win? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'd want to come out here. I'll take a cut rate to come out here to Los Angeles and be the guy for Matthew Stafford again. But I don't know how possible this is. That's a fantasy football conversation right there. Like,
I was just wondering, you know, two young quarterbacks.
I texted somebody this, not named Mayock, because I'm leaving him alone for the moment while he's in the middle of everything going on. But I texted somebody who I greatly appreciate in their knowledge of the sport and certainly talent evaluation. Like, what are the Raiders doing on their offensive line? They're sending Gabe Jackson to Seattle. And again, I mentioned this earlier with Steve Weich. If Russell Wilson says, I'll play for the Raiders potentially, why not? And because I'm concerned about my pass protection here in Seattle, go get an offensive lineman he was going to go play for in Oakland. I mean, I'm sorry, in Vegas. Go get Gabe Jackson. So Gabe's there, and Rodney Hudson apparently said, I want out, and the Raiders are like, okay, you know.
Didn't they bring back Richie Incognito?
Well, they did that, yeah. They let him go, and then they brought him back for less. I mean, the guy's pushing 40. And Rodney Hudson is now, I mean, Arizona just keeps on cherry-picking players that the teams that currently have them are giving up on, if you will, the 1 year early rather than late, the Belichick approach, which is what maybe what Mayock and Gruden's doing with the offensive line.
Maybe.
And so the reason why I bring that up is here's the text I got from somebody who I greatly appreciate. They like the young O-line they have and thought they might be getting a little too old, moving on earlier than later rather than anything else. Because I'm wondering, what are they doing on the line? What are they doing? We'll see how that works out. They re-signed Zay Jones. Bring him back. He's pretty good. The Raiders next year are going to be fascinating. Well, all 32 teams have something fascinating about them. But Arizona now takes Rodney Hudson, puts him on the line to protect Kyler Murray a little bit better and get enough time to throw to A.J. Green and DeAndre Hopkins and blow open the holes for Kenyon Drake and
maybe Larry Fitzgerald.
I don't know. I'm thinking the AJ Green signing is Larry Fitzgerald. Protection or replacement, for the lack of a better word.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just wondering if maybe it's, hey, Larry, we'll take a little bit more pressure
off.
Want
to talk about cherry
hang
on
out
top
for one more year.
Want to talk about bonus, right? Or what, luxury? Could you imagine?
He's your fourth guy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Christian Kirk and. That division is just so tough.
It's
another
so
reason why would Seattle cough up Russell Wilson? Why? What? Start building for the future? For their coach who turned 70? Come on now. And Bobby Wagner's his window's now, and other veterans, their window's now, and DK Metcalf is just beginning to blossom. Mm-hmm. Why would you trade Russell? That's the whole point. Why? If the situation isn't as dire as saying what we're hearing in Houston with Deshaun Watson, why? Make it work. Figure it out.
Figure it out.
And protect him. And now what if they add Lombardi Lenny? What if they add him and start running the ball?
They already run the ball.
But to much greater effect than what they're doing. Much greater effect.
The whole point is to let Russ cook.
Yeah.
The whole point.
Look at this guy over there.
Yeah. I heard Cook. Got excited.
Well done.
I'm engaged.
Clark Kellogg's going to join us as we start turning to March Madness. March Madness amidst the free agency frenzy. Madness, hour 3 coming up here on The Rich Eisen Show.